This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. We are led by our senior pastors, Jeff and Tracy Lamont. This week, Pastor Jeff talks about facing the storm. It was recorded on March 29th, 2020. It's our prayer that God will use it to begin and reveal something new in you. God bless.
A lot of the ways that we're trying to keep connected and to continue to minister through these times, every day I'm writing just a small daily devotional and also giving a little bit of info on things that are coming up and happening. And those are found at our Facebook group and our Facebook page. And also now we're emailing them out daily. And then also our pastoral team is calling through our whole database every week just to check and see if you have needs, if you have prayer requests, how we can minister to you. Yeah. Last week we had our very first New Song Zoom call gathering, and we'll be doing that again tonight at 6 p.m.
Yep.
There is a email invite that's been sent out. And by the way, it's a different invite this week than it was last week. So please pay attention to that. Some of you took a picture of the screen,
yes,
or Ms. Carla posted it out there. It's a different invite. But 6 o'clock tonight, and Pastor Bert's going to share a little devotional with us, and we'll catch up a little bit, and have time for prayer and that kind of thing. It'll be good.
It's so exciting to see your faces. That's what I love. I love you all, and I just miss your faces, but I'll tell you, too, also miss just being around you. We miss so much, don't we? When we're not physically together, we communicate so much more like that, too, and I miss that.
Yeah, we really feel that, and I know you do, too. Yeah. And, even though it's a little different, it really feels good just to be able to look into each other's eyes, see each other, pray for each other. It's really a good thing. And then on Wednesday nights, we're doing a Zoom call for the whole church, and Jen Hansen's hosting that one, and that one's at 6:30. So join us on that. I want to lead us. Last week I told you about unite714.com. I hope you checked that out, or if you haven't, that you will now. And literally over 100 nations and thousands of Christians and believers have gathered together and are praying together, not gather together, we're together in the Spirit.
Right.
Just one of those things that, you know, we're so accustomed to saying, but are praying together. Can you imagine? And I have the prayer right here, and we're going to pray it with you right now. And I just want you to think of what would happen if 1 million, 2 million, 5 million, 10 million people are voicing this prayer before the throne of grace. Here's our scriptures for Unite 714 this week. 1 Peter 2:9, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hebrews 4:16, let us then come with confidence and draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And here's our prayer today that we're going to pray together and believe together for God to move and work all over this world. Lord, we humble ourselves before you today in prayer. Our hearts are saddened by the reports coming from your own nation and around the world, from our own nation and from around the world, of the continued spread and devastation of COVID-19. Today we draw near to your throne of grace in confidence and faith, knowing you will hear our prayer. Your word says that though we are a people who were once in darkness without you, you were merciful to us and called us out of darkness and into your marvelous light.
You made us a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are a God who is full of mercy, compassion, and grace. You said we can come and receive mercy in our time of need. We need your help.
Yes.
We cry out to you because our world is in a desperate place.
Yes.
COVID-19 has created a dire time of need. But we are standing in faith on the promises of your word.
And today we're believing that as you appointed the Old Testament priests to stand in the gap as intercessors, to see plagues and disease eradicated, so you will use the church to intercede and see COVID-19 eradicated from the earth.
Therefore, we stand together as your royal priesthood and take authority over the COVID-19 virus. We pray COVID-19 will be eradicated. Yes. The victims will be healed. Yes. That doctors, nurses, scientists, first responders, and the vulnerable will be protected.
And we ask all these things in your name, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, honey. Oh, stay up here with me. Oh. Hey, you know what? Last week, we just decided in the midst of all that's going on, we pray, we stand in faith, we proclaim, but we also need a little bit of laughter.
Yes.
So, you know, it's interesting how the world has changed just in the last couple of weeks, right? And the change is quite interesting if you think about it, just like this. Check this out.
Oh, yeah.
People normally, totally disconnected on their devices, mm-hmm. Now... people out and about enjoying each other's company. Like, how did we forget this? It's one of those blessings.
I was at the park yesterday. It was interesting.
I know. And I'm watching people in our neighborhood, little groups. Yeah. I'm going, that's a family. Look at it. They're walking together. It's really awesome.
I see lots of dads with kids. I'm like, wow. And they're playing basketball. Yeah. And, you know, it was fun.
I've seen people in our neighborhood I've never seen before. They've never been out on our sidewalks before.
Who are they?
It's really awesome. This one, I found this one really humorous because, you know, I think I shared with you last week my toilet paper adventures. Did find some this week, glory to God.
Hallelujah,
but
yes.
This one was interesting. So, unfortunately, the test came back positive for COVID-19. You have the coronavirus. That's the top slide. And then the man responds, that can't be correct. I have over 40 cases of Costco water and 200 rolls of toilet paper. Can't have the virus because of those things. Anyway, somebody said to me this week, it's better to put your trust in the Lord than in your toilet paper.
Amen.
Believe me, that is so true.
Yes.
And this one was pretty good. Some of us have had to cancel vacations, spring break trips, mm-hmm. all kinds of things. And one of the things that's also happening is people are using all kinds of creativity.
Yes.
Like this guy. Very interesting. When your holiday's been canceled by the coronavirus, but you don't want to give up the dream. Kind of created his own little travel dream right there. And hey, you know what? Chuck Norris got a shout out last week, so we're going to bring him back this week.
Yeah.
COVID-19 died from catching Chuck Norris.
Yes.
So check that out, huh? Check that out. That's for you, Alan.
That's exactly right.
And by the way, you know, some of us don't need toilet paper anymore, like this guy, you know? Like this guy right here. Just bought 6 pounds of cheese. Won't need toilet paper now.
Okay.
All right. A little bit of humor.
And I had to laugh for him because you're not here. So I represent you.
By the way, we're going to do something next week. We'll be leading you through a time of communion. So encourage you to be thinking about that and preparing for that next Sunday as we spend our time together.
Get some crackers and grape juice.
Yes. Right.
That would be good.
Exactly.
Yes.
Thank you, honey. And by the way, I just want to thank the whole team that is just here and being such an incredible blessing. My wife, Pastor Bert, Alexis, Nate, Rob, Brittany, thanks for coming out, guys. Thanks for being a part. It means a lot to all of us, and we appreciate it greatly. But this morning, I want to bring a word that I'm entitling Facing the Storm. We're all facing the storm. Maybe you've heard a lot about storms already. It's an analogy in Scripture that's really powerful and that I think can be really helpful to us. And perhaps I'll have a few different thoughts for you this morning from anything you've heard thus far. We're all facing this coronavirus. We're all facing the challenge that it brings. I checked the Johns Hopkins map this morning about an hour ago. And the latest statistics are this: 679,977 cases confirmed worldwide, 31,734 deaths worldwide, 124,686 cases confirmed in the U.S., 2,229 deaths in the U.S. Because of all this, where many of us are being encouraged to stay at home, social distancing, there's the 24/7 news cycle that, quite honestly, if you tap into it constantly, it'll just create fear and panic and such uncertainty in your heart. Many people are not just worried about the virus and its the possibilities there, but the economy and how it's gone down and whether or not there will be able to be a recovery. This really is a storm. It's a tsunami, if you will. And this morning I want to talk about facing the storm and how do we face the storm in faith when the storm's blowing all around us. And you know what? Storms teach us a lot about who God is and what he's like and how we can better understand him and his character. And I want to look at the life of Jesus. I keep coming back to the fact that Jesus is perfect theology. He absolutely illustrates the heart of the Father through his life and his actions. And I believe I have a word from the Lord for many of you here this morning that are watching, that are tuning in. You're going to make it through this storm. You're going to make it through this storm. This too will pass. The Lord will walk with you through it. It's challenging days, but keep your eyes focused on him. So I want to turn this morning to Mark chapter 4. I want to look at a group of people who had a lot of encounters with Jesus over three and a half years. And it's really interesting, some of those encounters, there's so much to learn, so many teachable moments. And if we're going to be disciples of Jesus, there's a lot to learn from the early disciples of Jesus. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35, I want to read through verse 41. It says, "On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.'" Okay, let me just stop there and say, when Jesus says we're going to cross over to the other side, it's going to happen. When Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side of the lake," you're going to get to the other side of the lake. When Jesus says, "You're going to make it through this storm," you're going to make it through this storm. When Jesus says, "I'm with you and I'm walking with you through this coronavirus disease," he's with you. He's going to get you through it. Have faith today. Be encouraged today. Verse 36, "Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was," probably referring to the fact that he'd been teaching, probably from the boat, pulled out a little bit from the shore. And it says, "And other little boats were also with him." That's interesting to note. "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling with water. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow." Did you know he had a pillow? You ever noticed that before in Scripture? To me, that's a picture of perfect peace. In the midst of the storm, hunkered up on this pillow, just sleeping peacefully. Like a little baby, if you will, just sleeping peacefully. "And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still. Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Well, I want to say that again because even saying those words to me, I feel the peace of the Lord. "And there was a great calm." So I'm praying for you this morning that even as you listen, as you participate with us this morning, that a great calm comes to your home, to your children, to each of you. "But he said to them," verse 40, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Now, I want you to notice the contrast in that verse between fear and faith. Let me read it again because it's so powerful. "But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?'" He's connecting these two. There's a contrast here between walking in fear and walking in faith. And I pray this morning that you choose to walk in faith and not fear. In verse 41, and they feared exceedingly. And they said to one another, how can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? So we can learn some things about how to get through storms, I believe, from this passage. And the first thing we learn is the predictability of storms. Now, there's something about me that many of you probably don't know. I can predict storms. Yes, in college at the University of Louisville, I had a class on meteorology with Tom Wills. Some of you remember Tom Wills from Wave 3 TV days. He was the meteorologist for years and years and years in this city. And I had a class with him. It was very interesting. And he would challenge us as students every day to compete with him on the weather prediction. And here's one thing I know about me, having had that class. I'm a prognosticator of storms. How do you like that big word? I can predict storms. Now, just in full disclosure and honesty, I really don't know when they're going to come. I don't really know how long they're going to last. So I'm really limited in my prediction. All I know is that life's full of storms. That's what I know, that storms are going to come. And I can predict the predictability of storms, but not much else. Scripture, I believe, teaches us that storms, if you live on planet Earth, if you're alive, if you're going, you're going to go through storms. Last night, Tracy and I went to go to bed, and it had started thundering outside. The lightning was flashing. It was loud, and then suddenly it began to rain. It was interesting as I was praying and preparing for today, just to have that happen even last night. If you live on planet Earth, you're going to go through storms. Not just physical storms, but spiritual ones too. Difficult ones. Challenging times. I don't know how many of you remember a few years back, I think it may have been 2011, when that massive tsunami hit Southeast Asia. And literally mountains were covered with water. There was nowhere to escape. In Japan, my boss, Dr. Glenn Burris, visited there, and he met one person who'd lost 37 family members in that storm. That literally when the water came with such force in that storm, they only had about 30 minutes to escape. In that same area, it's very interesting, in Japan, 400 years prior, about 300 faithful Christians had been beheaded for their faith. Now, the very last ones that were there when he was visiting to clean up from the devastation of that storm were the faithful Christians. So, you know what? God has a lot to bring out of a storm. God has a lot to speak to us in the midst of and through the challenge of storms. Let me lead you to another passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27 this morning. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Have you heard this passage before? Have you heard this from Scripture? I don't know about you, but I don't like it. I'm just being honest with you. I don't like it. I mean, do you like it? Do you like this passage that I just read? I mean, let me just throw this out. Wouldn't it be nice if Jesus had said, if you hear my words and don't obey them, then you'll have to go through storms? I mean, that, you know, that would be understandable. That'd be okay. But it says, even if you obey God's word, you're going to go through storms. So whether you're a Christian listening today or you haven't yet received Christ into your heart, it's telling us that you're going to go through storms. You're going to experience storms in this life. Do you understand that? It's telling us the storms come to the wise man and to the unwise man. Storms come to the just man and the unjust man. To the Christian, to the non-Christian. We all go through storms, and we're all in one right now. This passage in Matthew 7 doesn't teach us the possibility of storms. It teaches us the absolute predictability of storms in this life. But here's the difference. Here's the difference. And it's significant. If you're a Christian, when the storm beats down on your life, your house will stand. That's a great promise to take hold of today. Your house is your family. It's your relationships. It's your livelihood. Storms are going to come. They're certain to come. Even when Jesus is in your boat. I mean, I wish the Bible said that if Jesus was in your boat, no storms would come in your life. Wouldn't that be nice? I mean, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it? But the Bible's a very real book. The Bible gives us a true and authentic reflection on what life on this sin-filled planet is going to be like. It doesn't make promises it doesn't keep. It doesn't paint a picture that's not realistic. The Bible says, if Jesus is in your boat, there'll be storms, but you'll make it through the storm. There's the promise. There's where we're to grab onto. So storms are not only probable, they're absolutely certain for every person on this earth. The second thing our passage teaches us this morning is the potential of storms. Anybody remember one of the great storms that hit the United States of America? It was called Hurricane Katrina. It displaced over 1 million people. Storms, they have this devastating potential. The tsunami in Japan that I mentioned earlier that happened in 2011 was caused by a 9.0 earthquake under the ocean. It's one of the largest earthquakes in recorded history, and it caused 130-foot waves that traveled 6 miles onto land. Can you imagine that? And not only that, on top of that, 3 nuclear reactors had level 7 meltdowns because of it. That was quite a storm. And here we are in the midst of another storm, a different looking storm. And over 150 countries, I understand now, are being affected by the coronavirus. Can I just get you to stop for a minute and think with me? Imagine what it would be like. You and I, most of us that are watching right now, that are participating, we live in the United States of America, and we're blessed because of that. And we live and we deal with what I tend to call first world problems. Can you imagine if you were living right now in a slum in New Delhi, India, one of the most crowded places on earth, where there's literally just millions of people crammed together in very sparse living conditions, so close together. Can you imagine living in a place like that and going through this crisis? All of our prayers shouldn't just be for us, folks. It ought to be for also others out there who are suffering and in much, much more difficult situations than we are. But let me tell you something about storms. They're bigger than we are. They are stronger than we are. So, storms have the potential to reveal our weakness, your weakness, my weakness. They have the potential to reveal not just our weakness, but our need for God. To reveal our human frailty. That you and I can't stand up against a storm without divine help. If, and it's a big if we will allow a storm to do that, and we'll press into God, God will draw close to us. We'll learn, we'll grow, we'll mature, we'll strengthen, our joy will increase, our peace will come. God will do amazing things if we'll allow the storm to show us our need for Him, remind us of our need for Him. By the way, this is the only time in Scripture, I want you to think about this with me, it's the only time in Scripture that we're told that Jesus was asleep. I mean, we know he slept. He's fully God, fully human, the incarnation. So he slept just like you and I do, but it's the only time the Bible ever mentions him sleeping. And he's sleeping in the midst of a storm. To me, that's truly a picture of perfect peace. Even in the storm, able to sleep. Why is that? Because Jesus was peace. Jesus was full of peace. The peace on the inside of him defined him, not the circumstances around him. Let me say that again. He was peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's so full of peace that the peace on the inside is what defined him, not the storm all around him. I don't want you to miss that this morning. And by the way, this is not just a little storm. I mean, these were professional fishermen who were scared for their lives. These were guys that made their living on the waters, and they thought they were going to die. The majority of the disciples, that's what they did for a living. They were fishermen. And the water was so rough, the storm was so bad, they literally thought they were going to die. Now, I'm a fisherman. It's one of my favorite things, one of my favorite hobbies. And I've actually been in some small storms out on the ocean. And let me just say, it's no fun. It's no fun. You can't wait to get back to shore when you are in a storm on the ocean. There have been times that the wind's been blowing so heavy, the rain's been coming so hard, and I was on a small boat at times, and I'll never forget this. One of my very first times, in fact, it's the only time I think in my life that I was seasick. I was very young. It was one of my first times out on the ocean, and a big storm hit. And literally, I'm looking at the port. We're pulling into dock, and I'm hanging my head over the rail, and I'm losing my lunch as I'm watching us pull into the port. It's no fun. It's no fun being in a storm on the sea, on the ocean. And these were commercial fishermen. And look what they did. Look what they did in this story. It's very interesting. They didn't wake Jesus up and say, "Hey, we really need you to man the oars and row with all your might. Every man on deck, every man needs to do his part." No, they woke him up and they said, "We're going to perish. We're going to die." By the way, waking him up was not the problem. The problem was how long they waited to wake him up and the way they woke him up. They waited until they were afraid, until they were so panicked to wake him up. That might have been the gentlemanly thing to do, but it was not the right thing to do. I want you to notice in the story, Jesus never rebuked them for waking him up. He didn't say, "Guys, why'd you wake me up? I was having a great dream right there, and I was really in the midst of some deep REM sleep." No, he didn't do that. He did not rebuke them for disturbing him with their prayers. He rebuked them for disturbing themselves with their fears. Let me say that again because I want you to get it this morning. He did not rebuke them for disturbing him with their prayers, their pleas for help. He rebuked them for disturbing themselves with their fear. Think about what they said when they woke him up. "We want you to know we are perishing and you don't care." That's what they said to him. "Do you not care that we are perishing?" You ever prayed a prayer like that? I mean, be honest. God knows anyway, right? Be honest. "God, don't you care what I'm going through? Don't you care for the suffering that I'm experiencing? God, where are you?" Let me just tell you, that's fear. That's fear giving words to your feelings. And let me tell you, why is it that Jesus rebukes them for their fear? Why is it that God takes fear so personally? And if you think about it, in the Gospels, Jesus on more than one occasion rebukes the disciples for their fear. Why is that? Because It's the greatest insult a believer can give to God. It's the greatest indictment a believer can make toward the character and the nature of God. You know the phrase, I mentioned this last week, that God speaks over and over and over and over again in Scripture, more than any other phrase, any other commandment, is fear not. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Why is it? Because He has us in His hands. He has us in His heart. He sees us. He knows what we're going through. He's there with us. Fear might just be the number one enemy that comes against us. We respond and react in this life, especially in storms, so often out of fear. But let me tell you why fear bothers God so much. Fear says this: Oh, the situation, it's just too big for you, God. See, fear magnifies the problem and minimizes our great God. Fear says, God, you don't care about me. You've forgotten me. It's an indictment on the character of God. It's why Jesus stands up and in the midst of the storm looks at the disciples and says, why are you so afraid? And He says this several times in Scripture to His disciples. He could have said, hey guys, I'm in the boat. I'm right here. I mean, the Son of God was in the boat and they still thought they were going to die. By the way, when they woke Him up, did you notice in the story, they didn't even ask Him to do anything about the storm? They could have. They could have said, Jesus, you raised the dead. Jesus, you fed the multitudes. Jesus, you opened the blind eyes. You cast out the demons. You can certainly calm this storm. That would have been a statement of faith. That would have been reflecting on His nature, His character, and walking in connection with that. But instead, they simply say, we're going to die. See, they crossed over to the point of believing the lie of the enemy instead of believing the truth of God. Do you see just how irrational fear can make us? It'll make you see things through the wrong perspective when you see them through the glasses of fear. Fear always warps and distorts our viewpoint. Look at what Jesus did. It says, then He arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He arose, and He spoke to the wind and to the waves. And notice, I think this is a really interesting part of the story. A great calm came. Let me suggest something. Maybe you've had this experience before. Maybe you've, you know, at night you've seen this, or you've been riding along on the highway or something, you've seen this. Could it have been that He stilled the storm in their immediate presence, but the storm was continuing around them, beyond them? It could have been. It's possible. I've been driving down the highway before. Maybe you have too, and a big storm was going on, and then you hit a pocket where there's just calm. Or at night, you know, it's not raining where you are, but in the distance you can see the lightning and you can hear the thunder and you know there's rain pouring down there. It could have been that He calmed the present situation around them. So many times we want God to calm the storm and He just might want to calm us in the middle of the storm. Let me say that again. So many times we want God to calm the storm, and He might just want to calm us in the middle of the storm. And that leads me to my third and last point this morning for you. The purpose of the storm. So the scripture says they had ministered all day, and now it's evening, and Jesus says, let's cross over to the other side of the sea. Let me ask you this question. Do you think Jesus knew a storm was coming? Remember, he's fully human, but he's also fully God. He's not only omnipresent, where he's everywhere, God is everywhere. He's omnipotent and omniscient. He knows all things. So did Jesus know a storm was coming? Of course he did. If he knew a storm was coming, why didn't he just say to the disciples, hey guys, let's set up camp over here and we'll cross over tomorrow after the storm that's coming passes? But he didn't do that. Did he lead them into the storm to possibly help them deal with their fear? That's a good question, and one we should ponder about today. It may have been the only way that he could get them to face their fear and to truly deal with it. The storm we're going through, all of us, there's things God wants to deal with in my life and in your life. Still amazes me that he slept through it, doesn't it, you? You know, you're not here, and I can't exactly have you raise your hand and see you right now, but if I were to ask you this question, how many of you have gone through a storm, I can pretty well guarantee 100% would raise their hands right now. It's literally everybody. You know what you and I need to ask right now, right where we are, in the midst of what we're going through? Here's the big question. You ready for it? Why is God allowing this storm in our lives? Just going to let that set for a second. Why is God allowing this storm in our lives? Here's what I believe. God has bigger things for you. He may be allowing a storm to set you free from things that are holding you back from the greater things he has for you. You see, one day, these same disciples that were fearful on the sea are going to have to face their greatest fear, which is giving their lives literally as martyrs for their faith in Christ. And the majority of them will face that fear with a God confidence and an absolute willingness to lay their lives down out of love and devotion for Christ. So let me just close by saying, let's allow God to shape us and to make us more like him through these storms that we're walking through. He's in us, he's with us, and folks, I gotta tell you, I think he has a greater purpose for you through this if you'll just lean into and cling to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the power of your word. Lord, as your word has been preached today, may that word touch the hearts of everyone listening. May that word plant itself as a seed in our hearts and bring forth a great amount of fruitfulness for your glory, honor, and praise. May fear be eradicated. May faith rise up. May we absolutely cling to you and find in you the greater purposes that you have for us in this season. In Jesus' strong name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Trace, would you come back up with me for a minute? I want us to close today by praying through a scriptural prayer of protection that my pastor friend, Jerry Dierman, from The Rock in Anaheim, California, wrote. And it's full of scripture, and it's powerful. And those of you who've been dealing with any kind of fear in the midst of all that's going on, you'll find this to be really encouraging for you today. And we want to pray, Tracy and I want to pray it over you today as we close. Father, your word says in 1 John 5:14 and 15, we have courage in God's presence because we are sure that he hears us if we ask him for anything that is according to his will. He hears us whenever we ask him. And since we know this is true, we know also that he gives us what we ask from him. So today, I'm going to pray directly, Lord, from your word, the Bible, so that I know I'm praying according to your will. And therefore, you will hear me and hear all of us and answer our prayers.
And your word says in Philippians 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So I refuse to be anxious or worried about anything, and I choose rather to pray about everything and to make all of my requests to you with thanksgiving. I am thanking you in faith that you will keep these promises to me.
And your word says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So I thank you, Lord, that I do not and I will not have a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Your word also says in Isaiah 41, verse 10, do not be afraid. I am with you. I am your God. Let nothing terrify you. I will make you strong and help you. I will protect you and save you. So in the name of Jesus, I will not be afraid because you are with me. You are my God. So nothing will terrify me. You will make me strong and you will help me. And regardless what happens, you will protect me and save me.
And your word says in Psalm 46, 1 and 2, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea.
Yes.
Therefore, I thank you, Lord God, that you are my refuge, and you are my strength,
yes,
that you are a very present help in times of trouble. Even if the whole earth is removed, and even if every mountain is thrown into the ocean, I refuse to fear.
And your word says in Isaiah 54, 17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. So I declare in the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and that every tongue, every negative word that disagrees with your promises to me, and every word that rises against me to judge me, I condemn and I cast it down. Such words will not come to pass. This divine protection is part of my inheritance as a servant of the Lord and my righteousness. My worthiness to have this protection comes from you, the final authority.
And your word also says in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents,
yes,
and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So I thank you, Lord, today that you've given me authority to use the name of Jesus to trample on serpents and scorpions and every kind of evil spirit and over all the power of the enemy. And because of that, nothing shall by any means harm me.
And your word says in Isaiah 53, 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So I thank you, Lord, that Jesus was wounded to pay for my transgressions. He was bruised to pay for my iniquities. He endured severe punishment to pay for my peace. And because he paid for my healing by willingly being scourged, I declare that by his stripes I am healed.
And your word also says in Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. So I choose to bless you, Lord, from the depths of my soul, and I will not forget all your benefits. You forgive all my iniquities, and you heal all my diseases.
And now, Lord, I pray Psalm 91, because I'm an heir of the blessing of Abraham through Jesus Christ. I personalize every promise in this chapter. According to Psalm 91, I declare, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wings I shall take refuge. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday.
1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I look and see the reward of the wicked. Because I've made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, my dwelling place. No evil shall befall me, nor shall any plague come near my dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. In their hands they shall bear me up, lest I dash my foot against a stone. I shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent I shall trample underfoot. Because I've set my love upon the Lord, therefore He will deliver me, and He will set me on high, because I have known His name.
I shall call upon Him, and He will answer me. He will be with me in trouble. He will deliver me and honor me. With long life, He will satisfy me and show me His salvation.
Amen and amen.
He is so good.
God bless you all. We love you very much.
We love you.
If you have any needs whatsoever, please let us know. We're here to care for you. You're our family, and we love you. We're praying for you. God bless.
Yes.